This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the 76ers Podcast Network. I'm Matt Murphy, joined by Lauren Rosen, and this is Making the Case, presented by GEICO, for Joel Embiid to be a 2022 NBA All-Star. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. All right, Lauren, so making the case for Joel Embiid is actually quite an easy task. He's been in four straight All-Star games, and he is having another fabulous season for the Philadelphia 76ers.
It's funny, Matt, when you said it's GEICO easy in that read, I kind of thought that would be an interesting way to describe making the case for Joel Embiid to be an All-Star. It's very easy. It's not really a case that needs to be made. But if we were to have to make it, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to do so. Just to give everybody an update where we are in the season right now, Joel Embiid is fifth in the league in scoring. He's averaging 27 points a game. He's 10th in the league in rebounding, averaging 10.6 rebounds per game. 18th in blocks. He's averaging 1.4 blocks per game. But he leads the league in both free throws attempted, 10.5 per game, and free throws made, 8.6 per game. He's also on a 7-game streak, having scored 30 points or more. Depending on when you listen to this, perhaps that streak could be increased, but as of this recording, he joins Wilt Chamberlain and Allen Iverson as the only Sixers to ever score 30-plus in 7 consecutive games. He is with some hallowed company right now, the way he is playing, Matt. It has been nothing but a pleasure to watch him grow in many ways, ways that show up on the stat sheet and ways that don't all season long.
Listening on time would mean January 11th right now is when we are recording. It should be published around this time, maybe a day or two after. Who knows? You'll know what day it is as you're listening to it. And these are some key dates related to the NBA All-Star game this year that I will repeat later on. But depending on when you're listening, the remaining 2-for-1 voting days when votes count double are January 13th, January 17th, and January 20th. Voting ends on Saturday, January 22nd. The game is about a month later, Sunday, February 20th. You might wonder, how can I vote? Well, there's multiple ways to do that. You can vote on NBA.com, through the NBA app, and on Twitter using hashtag NBA All-Star with hashtag first name, last name, hashtag Joel Embiid, or at Joel Embiid with the hashtag NBA All-Star. There's a lot of different ways to do it. If you forget those things, our Sixers.com website has a landing page that reminds you of the multiple ways to vote as well. I'll give you those 2-for-1 days again in just a little bit. But there was a precursor in this series, Lauren, a written piece of Making the Case presented by GEICO that's also available on Sixers.com. And that was closer to when Joel was coming off the December Player of the Month award in the Eastern Conference. And you ran through his current numbers, but let's talk about some of the performances through this season for Joel Embiid. There's so many. I'm sure everyone out there has their favorite Joel Embiid performance because there's a laundry list of games to pick from. But rewinding to earlier in the season is where we will start. There's a few that stick out, and let's talk about the wins. I know the Minnesota game was one of his 40-point games that went into double overtime, but we won't harp on that one. They did not come away with the win. Most of the time when Joel Embiid plays, the 76ers do win. He is one of the most important players in the NBA. A case can be made the most valuable player in the NBA, but this is the case for his All-Star candidacy. Charlotte on December 6th, you were on the trip, two games in Charlotte. That was his season high, 43 points. Did require overtime, but he had 15 rebounds and 7 assists as well. What do you remember from that game?
Well, I remember the two games sort of put together with the Sixers' two wins over Charlotte. And in those two victories combined, Joel averaged 37.5 points, 11.5 rebounds, and 5.5 assists per game. He shot 62.2% from the field, 50% from three, and 82% from the free throw line during the team's two-game stay in Charlotte. And that sort of felt like the beginning of what's become a pretty historic run for Joel. It felt like he was rounding into the form that we've seen from Joel in the past, but perhaps never sustained as long as he has over the last few weeks, where he can really put a game on his back and will the team to victory. We should always add the color this season of understanding that Joel, who has dealt with being sidelined due to health and safety protocols himself, but he's dealt every night with a different lineup. This team has had guys come in and out so much that Joel has almost now become, especially since he's returned from health and safety protocols, he's become the anchor. He's become the eye of the hurricane. You know exactly what you can get out of him from night to night. And I remember those two Charlotte games as where the tide sort of started to turn. The team started winning more. Joel started emerging into his MVP candidate caliber self that we were so used to seeing last season. So to me, that was just the tip of the iceberg for what we've seen. But yeah, those two games together, the way he willed the team to victory in the fourth quarter, both games really, really stood out for me.
In the month of December, the Eastern Conference Player of the Month averaged 29.2 points and 11.2 rebounds in 34.5 minutes per game, and that's just 1 month of his fantastic season. Later in December, he, against Boston on the 20th of the month, had another 40-point effort in a win 108-103 over the Boston Celtics. 41 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. That was his third career outing with at least 40, 10, 5, and 4, joining these names as on a list, with these being the only, actually it's a list of two, the only player with more such games since blocks became official in 73-74, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 4 such games. So that is one of the many Joel Embiid stats that stands out, the Boston game when he had 40, over 40, 10, 5, and 4.
The free throw shooting that night stood out to me as well. He was 12 for 14 from the line, and he's been 12 for 14 from the line already 3 times this season. I'm looking right now. 3 times this season, he's been 12 for 14 from the line. He was 15 for 19 from the line when in the second matchup in Charlotte. He's been perfect from the line, shooting double-digit free throws and making all of them. He did it against Golden State. He was 11 for 11 from the charity stripe. And then in Houston on Monday, January 10th, one of his most recent performances, 13 for 13 from the line. And Matt, in that one, he was 9 for 9 from the line in the first quarter alone. So Joel Embiid, we've seen him grow as a scorer all over the floor. There's not an area on the court that he is not a threat from. But the free throw shooting, he's doing it better than anyone else in the league as a big man. That to me stands out as something incredibly historic that we do not talk about enough.
I think it's worth giving the free throws made and attempted per game. Again, I know you have those numbers handy.
Yes, yes, yes. He is averaging a league best 10.5 free throw attempts per game. Again, he almost hit that amount in the first quarter in Houston alone, but also averaging a league high 8.6 free throws made per game. 10.5 attempts, 8.6 makes per game. That's good for over 80%. Really, really impressive stuff. Again, this is all being done by a big man. He's doing things we have never seen from a player this size.
We will touch on both of the Houston games, because not only the most recent one as we record this on January 11th, but the week prior, he messed around and had a triple-double in Philadelphia against the Houston Rockets. But there's one more game or Joel Embiid performance that I want to talk about here on Making the Case, presented by Geico, before we get to the Houston games. That is December 30th in Brooklyn, the game when he waved Kevin Durant and the Nets off their own court, his final line to end 2021, the year 2021 in this 2021-22 NBA season. Included 34 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block. He made 3 of his 5 threes, and it was one of the many games we saw the emotion from Joel Embiid when the Sixers have a narrow win or a win that they really need down the stretch, and that sense of relief and pride and emotion comes out of Embiid on the court right after the final buzzer, and it did in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and to beat, at that point, the best team in the East on the road after a narrow defeat, it meant so much to Joel. That win, or perhaps the one over Golden State that was just a couple weeks prior, people are considering the Sixers' 2 most quality wins of the season, beating the best in the East, beating the best in the West. And Matt, something you did in the Making the Case article that I appreciated, you added some voices. So I want to just quickly shout out some voices around the league that are appreciative of what Joel is doing. So when we talk about that Nets game, Brooklyn Nets all-star Kevin Durant says, "If you've been watching Joel and I play against each other, it's been competitive every game, even the all-star game. We just respect each other so much that the natural competitive fire comes out. It's the name of the game." And that's what it looks like when you watch the two of them play. It's like two guys. We talked about Joel as someone that can will his team to victory on any given night. Well, so can Kevin Durant, right? So it becomes this clash of the titans anytime that they play against each other. And we should say anytime they play against each other while healthy, because these are both guys that have dealt with injury in the past and that have worked really hard to get to the tops of their respective games. So it's been such a pleasure to be able to see them face off this season. And then following the win over the Warriors, Steve Kerr said, "Playing against Joel Embiid is like going through a time machine. It's like playing against Patrick Ewing, Shaq, and Hakeem Olajuwon. It's a low post game." Love the respect that coaches, players that have won championships around the league, that they are able to see Joel Embiid and see what he's doing right now and recognize just how special it is.
It's one thing for Sixers fans to talk about his greatness, for us to rehash our case on this 76ers podcast, on the 76ers podcast network, but it's another for names like Kevin Durant and Steve Kerr and people around the NBA to do it. That Durant quote was actually after the game in Brooklyn that I mentioned with Joel waving everyone off the court. There were a lot of questions about their relationship and the trash talk that took place, but it was all in good fun, gamesmanship. And Durant actually, I think that's enough right there to get Joel in the All-Star game. You just need Durant to mention playing against Joel in the All-Star game. So when a player like Kevin Durant talks about playing against a player like Joel Embiid, there, you got to have him in the game, right? We should probably end right now. If Durant's saying it, they need to play against each other again.
And you would hope that at some point we'll be able to say that that's a quote that comes from one MVP to another, because Joel Embiid, of course, the MVP runner-up last season, Doc Rivers, another quote that you called out, Doc Rivers said on his media day sit down this year before Joel even played a minute of basketball that Joel is, quote, an MVP waiting to happen. Doc said, "I thought that Joel was unstoppable when we played against him, and I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was this good." And that's a theme that we hear from coaches over and over again. Matt, a little anecdote. It was such a pleasure. While, of course, Doc Rivers also missed some time due to health and safety protocols, and we're so glad that he's back and feeling better. But to have Dan Burke step in as interim head coach for those two games, Dan Burke and Joel, of course, have a little bit of a history. I'll let you give a little bit more background there, because I know you had the radio call and were able to sort of describe it in depth, but Dan Burke had a similar experience with Joel. He didn't even say it as nicely as Doc did. Doc said he didn't know he was this good. Dan Burke did not like Joel Embiid. Dan Burke now loves Joel Embiid. Tell me more about what you heard from assistant coach of the 76ers, Dan Burke.
Well, he talked a lot about playing through Joel Embiid, which this year's Sixers, if you turn the TV on or you turn your radio on, you're going to hear Joel Embiid get a rebound. And he keeps the ball a lot of the time, and he'll end up going down and scoring. And Dan Burke talked a lot about running offense through Joel's unique skill sets. What you're talking about when he was in Indiana, I think, is common among any opposing coaches that go up against Joel Embiid. Let's just say that Dan Burke and other he's now one of Joel's coaches, but when you're going against him, you don't like those free throw numbers as much with how many times he gets to the line because he makes so many. You don't always agree with his trips to the line, but now I'm sure Dan Burke is as happy to see him go every single trip, whereas when he was in Indiana, not so much the case.
One of my favorite things that Dan Burke said is he talked about how Joel, in the famous interview, he said that Joel Embiid gets away with a lot. And the way that Dan Burke walked that back when he was head coach for those few days was he said, oh, Joel doesn't do any of that stuff anymore. And of course, Joel still does all that stuff, but Dan Burke likes it now. And I appreciate Dan Burke's willingness to change his opinion on something upon witnessing new information. We should all be doing that more in life. And I appreciated that from Dan Burke. It's been such a pleasure, Matt. And I know we want to go through a couple more of his performances, but just to observe those around Joel. Observe Joel, whether it's coaches, teammates, opposing players. That for me has become a theme watching his game, because night after night of being as dominant as he is, it's not that it gets boring, but when you come to expect it, you're not surprised anymore, and you can pay a little bit more attention to what's going on around. If Joel is the sun, you can pay attention to a little bit more of what's orbiting around him, right? And it's just been so interesting to see others observe the greatness that has been Joel Embiid.
The stuff that Joel Embiid does, perhaps he's doing that stuff at the highest level of his career, which again makes this case natural for the All-Star game in 2022. I'll hit on those dates again in a second. I just wanted to reiterate the fact that since his rookie season in 2016-17, when he was named to the All-Rookie team, he's been an NBA All-Star each of the past four seasons. This is his sixth NBA season. He's been fantastic. If you want to help send Joel Embiid to Cleveland, where the All-Star game will be, there are three different ways to do it. You can vote on NBA.com, the NBA app, and on Twitter, hashtag NBA All-Star, in addition to either hashtag Joel Embiid or at Joel Embiid. And the key dates, one being the All-Star game on February 20th, the ones leading up to that are that voting ends on Saturday, January 22nd. And there are multiple days left, if you're listening to this early, to vote, to have your vote doubled. 2-for-1 days remaining at the time of this recording include January 13th, January 17th, and January 20th.
The first returns for All-Star voting came back on January 6th. Joel was third among Eastern Conference front court players, 1,236,060 votes behind only Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Pretty good company to keep. I think he could crawl his way maybe up a little bit more, but even if he doesn't, that's a really respectable place to be at this point in the season. So good to know that he's already being voted for well, but we need to finish the job. So Matt Murphy, thanks for explaining how everybody can get it done.
I know front court and back court makes it easier on some people, probably on the league side, but I don't think there should be any restrictions. It should just be the best players, because there are big players who play more like guards and vice versa.
Well, it's exactly what we were just talking about. Joel Embiid is bringing the ball up regularly. He's starting the offense. Tobias Harris a few games ago said that Joel is a guard in a center's body, that there's nothing that he can't do with those qualities. So yes, agree that he could be at the top of any list, regardless of how you qualify it. I feel you 100%.
But then they do have the starting lineup voted in. So you could end up with, if that was the case, if there were no backcourt, frontcourt voting, you might end up with like 5 7-footers or something, and the coach would have to figure that out, which would be fun to watch on TV. Or you could just say that the head coach of the All-Star team can just pick whatever players from the reserves to put into the starting lineup. But the fans are part of the voting for the starters, so I kind of understand that there needs to be some shape of a basketball lineup that ends up being voted in. Let's keep talking about Joel's standout performances from this season, and let's now get to those Houston games, because the Houston Rockets are struggling this season. They are young. There's no two ways about it. And Joel Embiid has played in both the games for the Sixers, one in Philadelphia on the 3rd of January, one in Houston on the 10th. Of January. That one is freshest in our minds right now, but he had a triple-double in Philadelphia against the Rockets, and it was the third triple-double of his career. Game highs of 31 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. He got the 10th assist in the fourth quarter. Seth Curry knocked down a long two. And defensively, actually, in that game, he also had two blocks to pass Hall of Famer Moses Malone for 10th on the 76ers all-time blocks list. So let's start with the first Houston game and the triple-double. It was incredible for him to rack up 10 assists.
It was awesome, and you could feel it in the building. You knew that the crowd was watching and waiting for that 10th assist. Whether or not the guys on the floor knew exactly what they were waiting for, the accounts differed post-game of whether or not guys... Some guys do keep track of their stats in-game. There's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't mean that every guy is keeping track of every guy's stats, right? So Joel found Seth for that last basket. Seth said he wasn't sure that that's how meaningful that basket was going to end up being, but he got the job done. And Matt, something I wanted to add about that game, Joel played 30 minutes. The second game against Houston, he played just 26 minutes. He finished with 31 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. 31 points in each contest against Houston. Didn't play more than 30 minutes in either. So good to see Joel not only making these numbers happen and ranking among the league's best, but he's also playing fewer minutes than some others might need to get to those types of numbers, particularly that second game in Houston. 26 minutes, 31 points, didn't have to play in the fourth, making really quick work. We talk about the Rockets being an undermanned team that's really struggling this season, but every NBA team can beat every NBA team. It's something that we've talked about. If the night is right, if things line up, injury reports have been crazy this year. But the Sixers talk a ton about making sure you win the games that you should win. It sounds simple, but it's a theme that's come up over and over again. And for Joel to be able to take games into his hands early and finish things early, that's why I talked earlier in this podcast about those 9 free throws in the first quarter in that second Houston game. He took the game into his hands in the first few minutes of that game, never let it go, and then got to take the end of the night off, which is something you love to see, especially as the season, obviously today we're making the case for Joel Embiid to be an all-star in 2022 presented by Geico. But the goal for Joel Embiid is to get to the end of the season healthy, to get to the end of the season in peak physical performance, competitive performance, and lead this team through a playoff run. So when you see nights like the second one in Houston, where he was able to get the job done early and get a little bit of rest, the long-term picture will really appreciate nights like that.
For as much as it would be, and no one's expecting him not to get into the All-Star game, it would be an utter shock. This is so much fun just to recount these performances as we keep putting together Joel's case, because everyone has a favorite. And for a lot of people, it's probably one of those two Houston games, because he can do everything on the court. He goes coast to coast on the bounce. Like we said, he's been hitting so many jump shots this year. Some games he's had multiple threes. He's big defensive plays, chase down blocks, a couple on this winning streak for the Sixers, including one of James Harden, a little further back in defensive transition. But Joel Embiid can do a little bit of everything. When he gets to rest in game, is important, because he's so important to the success of the Sixers. 20-8 as it currently stands with him in the lineup, and they are the number 5 seed as we record in the Eastern Conference and only climbing on this stretch. A big part of that is how good he is late in the game. His clutch scoring, I want to give a quick proper shout out to. 98 clutch points for Joel, first in the NBA as of January 11th. Second closest is Boston's Jason Tatum at 74 points. DeMar DeRozan, 72. Kevin Durant, fourth with 70. So a big gap in clutch scoring, which is defined as a game that is a 5-point margin or less in the last 5 minutes of a game. He said earlier this year he's the closer for this year's Sixers.
It's become a common theme when you speak about the Sixers, when you hear the Sixers spoken about over the last few years, who's the closer? It's not a question anymore. Joel Embiid is not only the closer for this team, he's one of the best closers, if not the best closer in the league right now. It's been amazing to watch him grow, his confidence grow late in games, not just scoring, but passing out of double teams, finding his teammates, getting his teammates involved. And Matt, as we close up this episode, I wanted to just make sure that we gave a shout out to something that doesn't necessarily fit into making the case for an all-star. It doesn't really matter who you are as a person when you look at the numbers that go to the votes that make the team. However, we're not telling the full story about Joel Embiid's 2021-22 season if we don't talk about his leadership. And he talked at Media Day about that being the area that he wanted to grow most this year, was as a leader, as a vocal leader, as someone that could coach the young guys, that could bring the young guys with him. He talked about wanting to put the team on his back on the court, but he understands that that's actually not enough. He said it's something that he learned from Tobias Harris, that it's not just about putting the team on your back on the floor. It's about putting the team on your back when you're in the locker room. It's about making connections and bringing other guys along so that you can all work towards a common goal. And we keep calling back to the Houston game because it's the most recent one. But he said after the game in Houston that he can't win without his teammates. And something that I've really enjoyed observing, that Matt, you and I have talked about a ton, is the way that he's challenged his teammates to be better, and they have responded. So not only is he playing historic basketball, but he's helping his teammates play better than they ever have. The way that he has taken Tyrese Maxey under his wing, a second-year player who's been given such tremendous responsibility this year, and Joel has done nothing but support him and help shape him and challenge him to be better, has been so impressive to me. Same goes for Matisse Thybulle. Joel Embiid has been saying for years that he thinks Matisse Thybulle could be Defensive Player of the Year someday, but he wants now for Matisse to be a better offensive player, and he wants not just to tell Matisse to get better, but to show him how in practice, and then to make it happen on the floor in games. And that to me is something that's going to be so formative in Joel's career. This was the year that he really became a leader, that he learned how to help other guys along, and he's doing it so successfully. It feels like every week he publicly chooses a Sixer to challenge, to level up their game, and then that Sixer does it. We've seen it with Tyrese. We've seen it with Tobias. We've seen it with Matisse. I'm sure it's happening, Matt, in ways that you and I haven't seen, that isn't happening externally. But it's just been so impressive to watch him grow as a leader. We've said all throughout this podcast all of the amazing things he's done, everything that's jumping off the stat sheet, so many reasons for him to be an all-star. But when I look back on the last few months, I might remember most the way Joel Embiid has grown as a leader, and that is worth celebrating.
You read my mind when it comes to bringing up leadership. So thank you for that. Joel Embiid has a lot of fans in Philadelphia, a lot of Sixers fans that want to see him represent the team as an all-star. He has a lot of fans around the world who love him as a player that want to see him in the NBA All-Star Game, which is Sunday, February 20th in Cleveland, Ohio. Voting ends on Saturday, January 22nd, and there are a few two-for-one days remaining, January 13th, January 17th and January 20th, where your vote can count double, with averages this year of 27 points, 10.6 rebounds, and 4.4 assists per game. Joel Embiid is having another all-star season for the Philadelphia 76ers, and this has been Making the Case, presented by Geico. Lauren Rosen, thanks so much. We could go all day on Joel Embiid.
Matt Murphy, always a pleasure, and I can't wait to capture and cover Joel Embiid's next All-Star performance. I think it's going to be very soon.